Hello, friends. Welcome to the show. This is Chris Jansen with the And Evil podcast. I'm live tonight. Thanks for joining me. Looks like I got Jerry in the house. Welcome. Evil is the destruction of freedom. That's something I like to say at the beginning of every show. Where does that come from? Let me show you, folks. Here's my Amazon page. There's this book called The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke. No one seems to really know who Jeremy Locke is. If you look it up on Amazon, they're selling this book for $4,000. But if you just do a little more looking and you just type in, let's just do it right now. The End of All Evil. You can kind of scroll down and find it for free right here on the internet. There's the book, The End of All Evil. So what does he mean by that? Evil is a destruction of freedom. Well, that's the kind of stuff we like to talk about on this show. But for now, I just wanted to welcome you back. This is first time I've done a live show for a minute, so bear with me if transitions aren't perfect and such. But what I was going to talk about this week is the parables of Jesus. And the reason I chose to talk about the parables of Jesus is, well, there's more than one reason. But last week I talked about the destructive symbols of all time. The most destructive is the way the title went. And, you know, I brought up that title purposefully because I wanted to, you know, get people's attention a little bit. So, but it was more of looking at the negative side of things. It was more looking at the negative connotation. And one thing I noticed as I was doing research, I was looking into things like the Inquisition. I was looking into the Salem witch trials. I did a whole little video on the Salem witch trials, which, you know, I borrowed some images from other videos, but I talked about it from my own point of view, what I saw, the research that other YouTubers had done, what it meant to me. And so as I went through this process, I was looking at the Crusades. That's something I've looked at in the past that has always made a big impression on me, the Crusades, because it's one of the things that made me think a lot about the fact that I didn't want to be associated with Christianity, because so many people in history who were associated with Christianity had done murderous acts, imperialistic acts like the Crusades. And hey, welcome, Sarah Cross, another great content creator, and thanks for coming, folks. Yeah, so many heinous things have been done, and so what I started noticing as I put together that presentation called The Destructive Symbols of All Time is that the cross is one that really stood out for me. You know, right away, many of us, when we think of the most heinous thing, we think of like that swastika, the Nazi symbol, but when you consider, you know, the whole reign of terror that came through with the Nazis in World War II, we're talking like 10 years, you know? But when we think about things like I'm talking about years and years, this cross being carried through time and used in these imperialistic ways, whether it was the Salem witch trials, you know, which was only, you know, like 100 years ago, or back to the Crusades, or, you know, how many times in history have people worn the cross and murdered other people saying they're doing it in the name of God, you know? So it's a dangerous thing. The cross can be a very dangerous symbol. But hey, welcome, Leslie. It also has positive connotations, as I spoke about, in that the cross can symbolize our arms outstretched, right? The cross can symbolize the solar. It can be a symbol of the solar, the path of the sun on the horizon. So the reason I'm making the transition into talking about some of the positive connotations of the Bible and Christianity is because I find some very special treasure in the Bible, and it doesn't really matter which version you're looking at. Some of the best allegorical content in symbology that I know of, that I've understood, kind of looked at more than most other works I've looked at, is the Bible, because I grew up in Christianity and I had a father who asked a lot of questions and encouraged me. So let's skip right to a little story to get things going here. And let's read one of these parables. I picked out ahead of time a website. I have a couple tabs up. We might look at Wikipedia too, but I wanted to look at the parable of the sower, and I'll tell you why later. For now, let's just read this to get started. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. They told him many things in parables, saying, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a father went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. So there you have it. So the reason I chose that particular parable to start with is because, let me show you something here from the website real quick here. This is called BibleStudyTools.com. Let's look for a second. It's on that same page. We got to scroll up. Here's their chart. And on this chart here, as you see, the three main books of the Bible that Jesus tells parables are all listed here, and there are some commonalities. And I decided to start with the sower because it's one of the few parables that exists in all three versions. And I thought it might be interesting to think to myself, well, that was obviously a very important one, you know, forever reason. Whatever reason, the way the Bible was arranged. So just seemed like a starting point. Also, there's so many parables that I think it might be pretty difficult to look at them all. So we're not going to necessarily cover all the parables of Jesus in this episode and next episodes, but for the sake of this episode, what I really want to talk about here when we're talking about parables is the importance of understanding symbology. And that's why I'm bringing this up. These symbols, these allegories can be used to help us with our own personal problems and to help us become more enlightened in how we understand the world around us. And as we go through these parables, you're going to notice, and I'm going to mention when it happens, that there's a tendency to be too literal when we read these things. And I think it's important to recognize that stories that have been repeated through time, and one thing we're going to come back to look at more in the future on future episodes, is that almost everything that's in the Bible that I can think of exists in some prior form. Many of the stories, I should say, have been retold in different ways that existed before the Bible. And there's a good reason for that. Stories are the myths of time. They're the way humans recognize lessons, even looking at the stars. There's a tendency to make up stories about them. It's the way we pass information on from one generation to another before the advent of computer technology. So let's look at here's something I would like to show you folks. This is ChatGPT, and I have been playing with ChatGPT for quite some time, and I find it to be pretty helpful in a situation like this, because what I'll do is I'll say, okay, the sower and the seed is a parable. Outline the story and all the aspects of the story. And so it just kind of breaks it up into a quick outline. And I find that to be pretty handy, you know, just to use it for things like that. I'm not getting it to give me any information. I'm just letting it organize some things in front of me. So what are the aspects of the parable, right? You know, one thing I wanted to start with on this particular parable that I find to be particularly interesting is that it starts out that Jesus is surrounded by this crowd. So we have to assume at the time he's telling this parable that a lot of people are really curious what he has to say. A lot of people are coming to him. No doubt there's fables or stories, right? Rumors even at the time that he had healed people, that he had brought the sick to life, you know, that he had brought people. I mean, why else would be people, you know, thinking this guy's so great? Well, we don't know exactly everything that was going on, but the point is there's people trying to get close to him, probably touch him. And so he winds up getting on a boat because there's so many people and they're crowding around him. And he sits down and he talks to him from the shore. Okay, and then that's when this parable starts. But I'm going to do some little Tarantino-style thing right here and skip to the end. Well, the part, ChatGPT is leaving out what I wanted to talk about in the actual story here. And sometimes it's called a separate parable. But to me, it seems like a pretty important part of this story that in the end of telling the parable, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he said, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them." That's kind of a interesting saying, right? Like we think of the Jesus as this noble, careful guy, but he kind of sounds like he's talking smack about these people. He's saying, you know, because you guys get it and they don't, right? But he's not really. What he's saying is, they're not going to understand if I just lay it out in regular words. How come I have to use the parables? And so this is a symbol, an allegory that's really important for those of us who are speaking out in the public to help other people see things or understand things, who are trying to teach, in this case. The concept I really want to get across to folks out in the public who might be watching this is the concept of natural law and the importance of freedom and how these things are intertwined with the law of freedom. You know, in other words, the more we all break the natural law, the inherent pre-existing to our thinking of it law, the more we're going to experience slavery-like conditions on our planet, the more we're going to experience suffering and misery. And the more we work towards learning to not steal from one another, to not kill, murder, all the really simple, obvious things you should not do that you wouldn't want done to yourself, as in the Golden Rule, then the more we're going to experience, you know, if we could stop doing those things and just do things that are not initiating harm to other people, then we'll find this better world, you know. And that's, to me, the essence of what all religions and the essence of what all the Bible's talking about. And it all came together for me later in life as an awakening form. So, you know, I keep using my word to share with other people, hoping that they might find a similar experience that I did, not by being literalists and saying, oh, you shouldn't talk to people unless you talk in stories. That would be silly. I just wanted to share that ending part because of it also highlights the importance of this whole conversation we're having. So let's go back now and let's look at this parable. And I want to point out, folks, that when we look at a riddle or a mystery, or in this case, a parable, which is both a mystery and a riddle, as I said before, there's a tendency to become too literal. So when we're talking about this story, what is it we're talking about? Who is the sower? I mean, the name of the title is the sower. And so what does the symbol mean when Jesus starts telling a story about the sower? Well, I think this particular parable is kind of unique in that it gave us this preamble, this little setting, this little background to the story, that he was out by the lake, all these people came, and he jumped up in the boat, and he decided, okay, I got to give these people something. They want something, right? So he wants to give them something. And he chooses this particular story to share with these people. So just that aspect of the story gives you a little hint about who the sower is. Because here it is, Jesus is trying to convey an idea to the people. And when we saw at the end where the disciples are like, why did you do that? See, that's the mystery. It's like the if this was a riddle, at the end of the riddle, it explains the joke or the game. So the game was that if Jesus could just say things straight across to people, he would just do that. And so the sower who's sowing the seeds is the person like Jesus who's trying to share the information. That could be you or I trying to share content, like for me trying to share information with people about our reality, about truth, about natural law. Well, the seeds are like the words I use, right? There's a lot of different ways those words can hit the ground. And the ground could be the audience. That could be all you, the soil. Some of you are fertile. Some of you are not so fertile. And if you think about the subtle, like I said, riddle of this metaphor, the whole idea was that not everyone was going to get it. And that was why we couldn't just use simple words. We had to use a metaphor, right? That's why he had to tell the disciples that. So, you know, each of these different, well, now this is where I want to go to ChatGPT, because it shows the types of soil. What do each of these things symbolize now? The path, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, or the good soil? So let's start with the good soil. That is the most rare folks of all, right? Out there in that crowd Jesus was talking to, with all those multitudes of people, he knew ahead of time most of them aren't going to understand what he's saying. But someone that took the time to really wonder, what did he mean by the seed and the sower? Obviously, he wasn't just talking literally about a man throwing seeds, because we all know that that's the truth, that you know, that could happen conceivably. But obviously, wouldn't this, you know, here's another mystery I want to share with you that unlocks mysteries and riddles. Whenever you see something that's a riddle, if you say it literally, there's some aspect of it that just doesn't make sense. In this case, it's like if you were an actual farmer and you were spreading your seeds, wouldn't you be careful and not just throw them all over the place, you know, and try to throw them on the good soil because you've done this before, right? So obviously that's not what this story is meant to teach you, how to throw seeds, right? Because, you know, there's better ways to do it. The intention of the story is to make you think about deeper things. And so by going through that process with your brain of asking these questions, it forces us into a subconscious, intuitive, kind of feminine aspect of ourselves that can see without seeing. And like he said, let those who have ears, let them hear. Now, isn't that obvious if you have ears that you could hear, right? Let them hear. The wording of it is even strange. These things, although we have many translations, the essence of the sentence, if you just think about the subjects and the verbs and the nouns, it's just there's an inherent riddle in this where it's asking you to think about it on another level. And so that's kind of what I wanted to start folks off with, is to begin thinking about things on multiple levels. There's the surface level, and then there's a deeper level. So that's only two, right? Well, I would challenge you, when you're thinking about this parable or some other parable in the coming week or month, to think about it in three levels. And the way I usually like to do this is body, mind, spirit, or mental, physical and spiritual. So outside of that, we also have looking at something from the inside and then looking at the exterior or the outside, right? And so we can also do that with these parables. There's so much here to look at. So let's start in the beginning. The farmer goes out, he throws the seeds. As he some falls along the path, the birds came and ate them up. So what does that symbolize? You know, sometimes I speak and my words almost reminds me of words that I haven't completely thought out. Like, because this farmer obviously, you know, if he's throwing his seeds on a path, he should have been a little more careful about where he threw them, right? Like, so if it fell on the path, that's like words that were maybe a little too sloppy or fell out of the edges of my fingers or whatever that I should have cared a little more about, right? So some words that get taken from people that get, this is almost reminds me of like people that will nitpick for the birds, right? Like they're going to take little parts of what you say and just take out the part they don't like, or just nibble at the part they do like and leave out the other part that they don't like, right? So this is like when you try to talk to someone, try to teach something, and someone just takes from it only what they want, right? That's one way to look at that, this bird, right? It's where this word has fallen somewhere where it's just being pecked at, it's and eaten, you know, it's not being it's not turning into, it's not growing, right? It's not being put in the earth and grown like what a seed, we hope what a seed would do. This is from the point of view of the sower. See, that keeps us on track, what we're thinking about here. The point of view of the sower. So if you want to communicate with people, that's what we talked about on a past episode. Words, etymology, clarity. It's important to be sure with your words. So throwing your seeds carefully, right? Okay, some fall on the rocky places, did not have much soil, right? So when there's not much soil, what's the problem with that? Your roots are going to be close to the sun, you know, they're going to get too hot because the sun's going to be hitting the rock and they're going to wither up and it's going to be hard for them to take root, right? So that symbolizes like when you speak with someone, if I were trying to teach something or Jesus was spreading his words to the group of people, and they just kind of look at the surface layer. They're being literalists, right? They don't realize that this is an allegorical, metaphorical idea that's a riddle that has many layers that you can keep thinking about. And even though you think you've got it, there's more to realize the deeper you can go. So you're not going to get many layers deeper if you're hitting hard rock, you know, in the first quarter inch. And so what that symbolizes is like if someone's already made up their mind about something, they're already 100% sure they know everything, how are you going to teach them something, right? So it's like not going to be very effective. The ideas will not take root in someone that does not have enough soil. They're too hardened, right? Okay, so let's, and they might think they got it right away. That's like it springs up quickly, but then it doesn't really, you know, I got it, and they walk away. I understand what he's talking about. And these are people that are quick to draw conclusions about who you are and what you're saying without really thinking about what you're saying, and just maybe based on what you look like. You know, someone just might look on this podcast and be like, end evil. There's no way to end evil. And this guy looks like a weirdo, so I'm done, right? That's just surface level of looking at things. I'm going to check in on the chat for a second here. It looks like Sarah's hanging out. Thanks. Great topic. And Fred's here. Thanks for coming, folks. I'm going to have just a quick little interlude because it's really hot out. I'm going to go turn my fan on and grab a quick drink of water. This is 2 minutes and 33 seconds. I'll be right back with you, folks. Hey, friends. This is Chris Jansen. Evil is the destruction of freedom. Welcome to the End Evil Podcast. Just wanted to draw your attention to a couple great things you can check out when you're done watching this show. Pop on over to Twitch and check out Brandon Spencer's 24/7 live stream coming at you with truth, freedom, natural law, all the time, every day. Also want to bring your attention to Mondays. You can check out my good friend Crip Rick on Revolution Radio. at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And now, I have a great show for you. Thanks for joining me. Please stop on by to andevil.life and make a small donation or share something from the website. Subscribe to the channels and enjoy the show. Check out the chemtrails.
I'm in cage. I'm in a prison. I'm in a mental prison.
Okay, I'm back, folks. Thanks for bearing with me for a second there. Yeah, check out Sarah Cross also is now on Revolution Radio too. And Sarah, if you want to share in your link, I need to get you in that little awesome commercial too, because Sarah Cross is doing some great work, and I'm glad to have her with us tonight. And we got Jim listening while he's at work. Thanks, Jim, for joining us. Yeah, so where we left off was we were talking about the parable of the sower. And, okay, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, right? That's like the sun. What the sun to me represents truth in this allegory, or natural law, right? It's like these people made a quick decision. They were listening to Jesus talk, or this could also represent your audience or my audience, right? Or Mark Passio's audience, the people that were listening, but they weren't really listening. They didn't have ears to hear, right? So the problem was they were listening and they drew a quick conclusion, and then they were like rocks. They were hardened in their mind already, and they, the idea didn't take root. They walked away too quickly. They drew too quick of a conclusion. And so when the sun comes up, symbolizes that, like, the next day, you know, moving on in life, what happens next? They didn't have any roots. These ideas did not take root with these people. They just didn't get it. So let's move on to the next aspect. Another seed fell among the thorns, which choked the plants. Now, to me, this symbolizes, some of our words that get twisted and used by people that have the wrong intentions. Choking the plants, right? They're going to let the idea grow just enough so they can try to twist it and manipulate it. Now, this here, I think, is one of the most important of all here, because this to me symbolizes what we deal with for a large part in our modern world, is this twisting of truth. And I want to share this comment. Sarah says we should do one of these shows talking about the Tower of Babel and the mistranslations that are in the Bible. I'm very excited about that. I have a lot to say about the Tower of Babel, especially recently. I kind of had a whole realization about the Tower of Babel. So we'll have to get together on that, Sarah. Sounds like a plan. Those are the misusing words, turning it into something it's not. This is pretty much what we're dealing with in the world out there right now, is the seed of truth. The ideas are masked and hidden. A great example is what we're exactly talking about, religion. You know, religion is constantly giving you the kernel of truth, but sending it off in kind of like another direction, or diverting it. And that's like the twisting that chokes it from really being, really blossoming into something beautiful. It's like a school, right? We all know that school's basically a good concept. You know, many people I talk to still think it's a great thing. But public school is just like these seeds that are being thrown into the thorny soil. The words are being twisted. The stories of history are being turned in such a way to turn people into just order followers that just do what they're told, that don't think about things for themselves. That's the seeds that are falling and getting choked by the plants. The kids that go to school. Kids that don't go to school have a lot more opportunity because they're not getting this twisting, assuming that someone still shares with them information and encourages them to learn. Because if you didn't do any of those things, if a child didn't get nurturing and love, then, you know, they're not going to do well either. Just like a seed, right? In the soil. This metaphor just keeps holding true. It keeps working in so many ways. Okay, still, other seeds fell on good soil. So these produced a crop. This is one of those times when, if you're too much of a literalist, this doesn't make any sense. And this is also, like I was saying, one of those times when you realize it's a riddle. It's a mystery. It said, the seed that fell on the good crop, it produced 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. What? You know, that's like kind of like a little wild, right? Like if you throw out a certain number of seeds, you're really only going to expect so much crop. But he's saying, no. This is going to be 100, 60, 30 times what you threw down. Why is that? What's he talking about here? Because he's not really talking about seeds. He's talking about words that were well thought out and well crafted, and they were put in front of good soil. And the soil in this metaphor represents the audience that we're talking to, the person who is listening. You know, in that case with Jesus sitting in the boat talking to the crowd, there would have been a few people out there that go, "Oh, I see. He's not really talking about a seed. He's not really talking about someone just throwing a seed, a farmer. He's not teaching us how to farm. He's teaching us how to craft our words to help people. He's teaching us how to help ourselves, right? How to learn, to see that what it really means is if you help somebody learn something, it's like you could give somebody a fish, or you can get out a fishing pole and some string and show them how to work the fishing pole and show them, teach them how to fish. How many fish can they catch, right? It's unlimited. It's unlimited how many fish can be caught. And that's what he means here by 100, 60, or 30 times, 100 times what you threw down. Because if you reach people that really understand what you're saying and they really grasp it on a deep level, like the roots take hold, right, of the truth of what you're saying, and the sun sets and they grow and you care for them and it's watered, you care for the people you're talking to, right? They get it, right? They could tell 30 more people in the way that you told them, and they could tell 30 more, and it could keep going. And if you think about it, he even used numbers like 30 and 60 to kind of give you that concept, right? Or double, tripling, quadrupling. So this is a great lesson for us who are trying to be content creators, for people who are trying to teach in this world. So what's the end here? The kingdom of heaven. What are we talking about? The secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, this is great. I like this part. Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. What could he possibly mean by that, right? Like if you've been indoctrinated by a religion, this is another perfect example, a way that thorns get twisted, the thorny, twisty words that they use. Like when I went to religious institutions and Christianity, you might be a literalist. You might say to yourself, oh, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven must be talking about the pearly gates and the way to get into heaven, doing everything just right and doing exactly what God tells you right when he tells you, you know, the secrets, right? You can only know if you're God. No. It's nothing weird and mysterious like that. They're only knowledge of the secrets of kingdom of heaven are talking about your ability to understand consciousness and reality and to recognize that your body is your kingdom because it is your connection to the great all. Let me put up my end evil flag here, right? Why do I display the tree of life behind me when I talk about ending evil? It's because we are connected to the great all. The great all is God, and that is truth. They're one and the same. And that is also the essence of what love is, right? It's reality, it's truth. It's something that endures and cares forever. And evil is something that sucks away from it. That it's like a cancer cell, right? God does not need evil to survive, right? So I think there's some confusion about the concept of evil because people have been indoctrinated with this religious viewpoint that evil is something from the movies, just like the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. It's like some kind of holy grail that's in a cabinet somewhere, and there's some sort of entity who's guarding it or something like that. You know, this is too literal. What we're talking about, the keys to your kingdom are the body, mind, spirit understanding of your own physicality, your mentality, and your spirituality, right? So let's turn a little corner here and let's look at this. Let's look at this parable of the sower from another perspective. Let's go a layer deeper. What if this is the own parts of inside myself, right? Instead of looking externally at this riddle, this mystery, let's look at it like I'm talking to myself. So the soil represents my body, okay? Right, my actual physical form is the soil. And then the seeds are what I put into my body, the input that I put into my body and my mind and my spirit, because they all align, because they're all interconnected. How can you do one without the other, right? So I stopped to look at the comments and there weren't any. And now we resolved that. Back to the point I was making. If we look at the parable of the sower and we look at it from an internal point of view, and this time we're going to look at as, you know, the people standing on the shore is like almost like our subconsciousness, right? It's almost like our mentality, the part of us that hasn't understood something yet. How do we have a realization, right? There's a part of ourself that hasn't realized something before we come to a realization. That would be the people on the shore in this, in the way I'm looking at this layer deeper, right? It's within myself. How do I look at the parable of the sower without considering external people and those problems and just what's going on within me, right? So if I looked at it that way, the seeds could be things I look at on the internet, things I read about, experiences I have during my day, right? The outcomes of choices I made from yesterday, I'm receiving information today. This is input, right? These are like the seeds. And so or the deeds. It's funny that seeds rhymes with deeds, that's the things I'm doing today, right? So today I'm planting seeds. So if I'm going around, let's just say what I do is I go on the internet and I find people that are doing good work on the internet that makes me nervous, but I try to find a way to make fun of it to make myself feel better, right? Or I just go on other people's well thought out work and I just leave dumb little comments all day. I just troll them, right? To make myself feel a little better, right? Like if I spend my time doing something like that, even though it gives me a little buzz each time when I leave my dumb little comment, I don't actually do anything in the world. And it's like the seeds that are just getting tossed on the path. They don't even get a chance to take root. You're spending a bunch of time in your day. If I'm spending a bunch of time in my day just scrolling on my phone and I realize like hours have gone by, I could have made a presentation that I shared with the world that really changed somebody's life at that time. But instead, I threw my seed on the path, right? So this could be our choices, the deeds we take. It could be our literal seed going around having sex with a bunch of people that you don't care about or paying money. And, you know, it's like shooting your seed all over the place. And then you got all these little kids with problems that are on crack because you weren't there to watch them, because you weren't careful with your seed. You were scattering it, right? So it can mean physical things. It can mean mental things. It could be spiritual things, right? A lot of the thoughts I think during the day, am I thinking like positive thoughts? Like, am I thinking, you know what? I'm going to do a great show tonight. I know I didn't like prepare a lot this week. And I know I was like working real hard out in the field this week and I didn't really take notes, but I think I can do it. I think I can do it anyway. I know about parables. I've thought about it my whole life, you know? And so those are the thoughts I was having today as I was running late and getting here 2 hours before the podcast. I was thinking to myself, I know I can do this. It'll be fun. I can do a live show and it'll be a good show. And it is, right? See, because I planted seeds in my own mind that I could do it, and I knew I could. And it, I had been thinking about it. I wasn't just throwing thoughts to the wind, right? And so that's the ones that go in the path. How about the birds came and ate them up, right? It's pretty similar in my mind right there, like thoughts and ideas that are just easy prey for problematic things to happen, right? So, you know, there's always that kind of devil's advocate in our mind, or that part of us that just wants to do what's fun, you know? It's just like always wanting to take time off, always wanting to kick the feet up, right? That part of us can lead to not nourishing our what we really care about. And then it comes around a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year later, and we're like, man, I still haven't got that thing done that I really wanted to, that I've been talking to myself about doing, but I never actually did, right? That's like these thoughts and ideas and deeds that we do that we just don't follow through with, you know, because we don't really have the commitment, or we don't take them seriously. So, you know, this is teaching me a lot about myself, right? The deeper I look into this. Okay, what about the ideas or the thoughts or the actions I do in my life that don't really take root, that are shallow, you know, that hit rock, right? That's like a lot of the things I've done in the past in the financial world, right? That's hitting home with me. Like I've had these ideas, like, I know I'm going to do this. And then I started investing some time and energy into it, but it really wasn't a totally thought out plan. It just sounded fun in my mind, right? Start writing a bunch of stuff about it. And then years later, I find this piece of page where I wrote down a bunch of random thoughts about this idea that was going to make all this money. But I didn't, it didn't have the solid commitment. I didn't put roots. I didn't put the time and energy into it, right? So like, if we want to bear fruit in our life, which would symbolize doing things that are amazing and awesome, we have to think about them carefully. I remember when I started the End Evil podcast, I did think very carefully about what type of symbol would I like to use that would stick around, that would mean something to me just many years later, as much as it does now. And I had a similar thing when I got this. I don't know if I've showed this on my podcast before, but I only have one tattoo, and it's a yin yang with the sun around it and four little elements. And when I got that at the time, I just knew that it was going to mean a lot to me when I got older, as much as it did then, even if I learned new things about it. I knew it was going to be a good symbol for me. So, you know, how we choose our symbols and the things we put out into the world with our time are massively important, because they all add up to the reality. What we experience is what this parable of the sower is telling us, right? So if I have a good idea and I actually take that idea seriously and I outline it and I take the time to make sure and put it in good soil, right? Soil is my body. Like, that's putting the time into it, right? Like exercising every day. You know, when I started making that decision to do push-ups every morning, it was an awesome thing I did for myself, because my body appreciates it and it gets used to it. It gets up every day. It's like, aren't we going to do our push-ups? We always do our push-ups. Yeah, we are. And it says, thank you, right? So when we treat ourselves, we can treat ourselves just like this parable teaches. We want to put our time, our energy, our thoughts, and our mind into things that are worthwhile, the good soil. So, Sarah said she wrote an article about the Tower of Babel. So if you got that link, Sarah, I'd love you to share it. Send it over. I'd want to check that out. And Leslie said she's listening and taking in the seeds of wisdom. Thank you. You're awesome. And excellent show. This is a great show for sure. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. So we got about 15 minutes left. And what I'm going to do is look at this parable of the sower again from one more perspective, and that is the external perspective. But I'm going to show you just a quick little tour of my website here, and I'll be right back. in 1 second. Well, not 1 second, like 2 minutes. I'm going to play part of this End Evil commercial.
Hey friends, this is Chris with the End Evil podcast. Just wanted to give you a quick tour of some of the things. Things I got going on the website here, you can find this page where you can sign up for the One Great Work Warriors email list. I'm trying to send out an email to folks to give them some inside scoop of what's going on. If you sign up for the email list, you'll get some information that other people aren't getting on social media. I'm going to share, but there is things to check out. Here's YouTube. If you click on the community tab on YouTube, I've been trying to use that from time to time for each show and share the upcoming show or a little poll or a quiz. So that's a great place to follow. Also on the YouTube page, you want to check out the live link. And that's where the next show that's going to premiere, you'll find it. And you'll find how long it's going to be. And you can hit the notify me. If you haven't yet subscribed to the YouTube page, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that. Help the show get out there more. I want to encourage people to share slides. I've been putting out this advertisement in the hopes that other people will share the show and become part of what we're doing here at the podcast.
Yeah, I wanted to jump in right there and remind you folks that, you know, I'd love to get people to share ideas for the show. I like people to become involved with the End Evil podcast. It's a project in my mind, and it's something that
people can.
I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing people get a little bit more involved, and this is an opportunity for folks to do that. So please feel free to send me something to chris@chrisjansen.com. And if you're interested on being a guest on the show, you can also connect with me there, and that'd be great. So, I mean, how many podcasts do you listen to where you have the opportunity to actually be on the show? You know, I'm trying to create that for folks, and just kind of wanted to give you guys that encouragement. So,
you know, there's certainly an opportunity to come on the show if you have some content, record yourself talking, create your own little presentation. And if it's in line with what we're doing here on the End Evil podcast, I'll play it. So this is your opportunity to get out there and get your work seen by a few more people.
Restream just did the strangest thing to me where it, I see what happened. It went full screen. I lost the whole image of what I was doing. But anyway, the point of that advertisement, I think you guys all see, is that I'm trying to encourage people to help in the prospect of ending evil in any way possible. We do what we can. And there's going to be an opportunity next week. I'm going to open a roundtable if folks want to come on the show and talk about anything that we've discussed thus far in regards to symbolism. There's a lot more that I'm excited to share with folks that's coming up. I've got some more interviews with folks, but next week is going to be like an open roundtable. I might start with a little presenting myself and then bring people in who want to join me. But for today, we're just going to finish up this parable of the sower. And let's look at this parable from the external point of view. Like, what about the whole world, all of humanity, you know? What would it mean if we sort of expanded our minds to look at this in terms of like all of everything? What would it symbolize? I mean, I almost think of like Jesus represents the voice of God, right? Jesus represents the ultimate truth. And the ultimate truth in all of reality is constantly trying to express itself. It's just doing what it does, right? And that's one of the things that I like to point to nature, the importance of recognizing things that are natural. We've looked at the word netter before, and we're going to come back to that in coming weeks. But what's natural is the expression that is coming out of reality in a natural way. Certain types of trees bear certain types of fruit. As Alan Watts said, figs do not grow on thorns, right? There is an order to reality. There is a natural expression. So what I'm getting at here is that we don't need necessarily words typed in a book or on a computer screen for truth or reality to express itself. And that is pre-existing in any story or any allegory that we can find symbolism, that we can use, be semioticians or symbologists, right? To study symbology, we can study the deeper layers of thing, and things can always be found. And another thing I wanted to point out is often when we're looking at like books, stories, movies, we can find a lot of symbolism that the writer of the story or book might not even have intended. That does not mean that symbolism is not valid. We can see and understand things in many ways. That's like the tarot deck, right? When we look at certain images, depending on who we are and how we're looking at it, we can derive lots of different symbology. And that's why it is an intuitive process. And that's also partly why it's so important, because it breaks through the outer shell of knowing, right? And it allows our roots to take a deeper hold in our roots of understanding. So looking at the holistic view from the external, the people who stood on the shore, what would that represent? Well, what comes to my mind right away is the shore. The people on the shore represent the future, people of the future, the people that are coming. Because in the story, Jesus was talking to these people in the hopes that they would hear his words, right? To catch his seeds. Well, if we were to look at from the bigger point of view of all of humanity, what we'd be talking about here is we'd be talking about the people that might come to certain understandings in the future, right? So when there's words out there in terms of books, there are words out in the world in terms of stories that have been passed through time, fables, the Bible, right? All other religions, the Bhagavad Gita, right? These are like the seeds that have been scattered through time. And we're looking at the big picture here. There's been different humans all through time that we know of and the time that we don't know of that have sown seeds. These are words. They've shared ideas. They've shared thoughts. They've shared themes. Some of them have fallen onto the rocky soil, right? Some of the ideas of past did not work out well. Okay, so let's give an example of actions, thoughts, and deeds through time that fell along the path and got eaten by the birds. So this would be ideas and actions that didn't really show up with a lot of heavy meaning and that didn't really affect people in a major way. A pet rock comes to mind, right? This guy probably made $1 million, but you know, it was a flash in the pan type of thing. Like no one goes out and buys pet rocks for Christmas anymore, right? It was just an idea that came and went. Let's think of something a little bigger than that. What's this something in history that has kind of come and gone that, well, socialism comes to mind, right? Socialism was an idea that in theory sounded really great. Oh, Leslie said, nature and the earth herself speak to us all the time without words. Right. Nature uses symbols to speak with us and vibrations. So I was talking about socialism. In theory, I understand why some people fall for the allure of the idea of socialism. If we all just like, everybody just works and we take what everybody makes and we just spread everything out equally so everybody gets enough food, nobody starves. And, you know, like we all work, but we don't have to work so hard because everybody's working, right? But well, how come it never panned out that way? You know, it seemed like, you know, some of the places that had socialism, well, a few people in charge wound up killing masses of people or starving them to death because they didn't do what they said. So it didn't actually work out. It wasn't really a well thought out idea. It's not really a good way to run a society. Socialism didn't work out in the seeds of time. Like, we should know this by now. We can look back at how many times that, you know, people are still experimenting with communism, right? And this is, some people still think it's a great idea. But we can look back at how communism has abused humanity through time. Has it worked out well? No, it's been, we could also look at some of these ideas as ideas that might have been a good idea, like let's all chip in and work together, that got turned into something evil. And that would be more like the vines growing up the side and taking it over, right? Let it take root just enough so that the evil plant can come and use up its power, use up its energy. And that's been the method of, you know, people all through time. When we think of, I'm thinking of the Crusades, the Holy Roman Empire, right? There's one point where the Roman Empire and the Catholic Church all kind of came together and sort of this weird mixture of politics and religion. And people in places of religion were in power, right? And they're claiming it to be theirs and they have ownership. And then along comes Martin Luther, and he tells people, oh, you can read a Bible for yourself. You can have your own relationship with God. You don't need these bishops, right? So this is kind of like these seeds, these ideas through time that were actually hit some good soil, like, right? Martin Luther said, you know, he woke up a lot of people to the realization that they could study these books themselves and they could read these words themselves. And boom, that old paradigm was shattered. They could not keep a lid on it after that. And over time, it was proven that their way of doing things, of charging people money to get prayers, charging people money to talk to God, was definitely wrong and evil, right? So that action along the story was like the seed that fell on a rocky place, or a seed that fell among the weeds and got twisted and turned to be a certain way and choked, right? But, you know, the good seeds of time, of freedom and truth, I don't know where they've really sprouted the way they should. It doesn't feel like we're quite there yet. And I think we have that to look forward to. And I think that's the future for all of us, is that we're working towards, and why the End Evil podcast is important, or your podcast or show that you're doing, is trying to lead people towards a future that isn't so corrupted with evil. The less, the better. We can end this evil. We can clean up this mess. And that way we're going to do that is by working towards the good soil. So what would be the good soil? The good soil would be a balance of nutrients, right? That's what plants grow in well. They need water, but not too much water. They need sun, but not too much sun. So we're just the same way as human beings. We need to care for each other, but we don't need to be submissive, right? We want to protect each other, but we also want each other to learn to protect ourselves. In all these things, there's a balance. And I encourage you folks to use what we've talked about today to learn to take apart words and symbols and put them back together in different ways. And you'll find that the kingdom of heaven actually resides within your own body, mind, and spirit. If you exercise your body and you care for your body and you keep it healthy, and then you mentally stretch your mind and exercise your mind and consider different options and don't get calcified or like the hard rocks, let your mind have deep soil. Let it think on things. Let it focus on things. And then spiritually, in alignment with natural law, right? Not doing things to others that you wouldn't have done to yourself, considering that everything you do, think, and act in this world will have a natural law result and lead to the future of your children and grandchildren. And so we're not just concentrated on our own little comfort for this little moment, but thinking about the big picture for all and everything. That is the mental, physical, and spiritual connection that we can open a kingdom where we can feel joy, right? The kingdom's within us and it is without us. You know, it doesn't need us, but we're here and we have an opportunity to be part of it. So don't waste it, because this is a great gift. And I thank you folks who have joined me tonight for the show. And I hope it helps you just look at symbols in general. You know, try to look at them from the internal or the external point of view, or try to split them up into threes: input, process, output, or, you know, mental, physical, spiritual. It's a way to break these things apart. So next week, I'll be back, and I'm going to open up a roundtable if folks want to join me. And we'll have a discussion on the past few weeks and the symbolism, and I'll try to get together as many slides as I can from the past week so we can discuss them. So I hope you folks have a wonderful evening. Play my little outro, and then we'll call it a night. Thanks for coming. Evil is the destruction of freedom. Thank you.